This morning and turn to Ephesians 5, and then put your finger in that, and then to 1 Peter chapter 3. Put your finger there as well. The title of my message is Building Intimacy and Harmony, the Husband. I told you I would be an equal opportunity Bible teacher. So men, it's time for us to step up and take the challenge this morning. And to look at what God wants for us as husbands and how to have a marriage that's enjoyed. One that is full of harmony and increasing in unity as God has planned. Now we've looked at the plan and the purpose of marriage. And of course it was to provide companionship and fellowship. And a place where unity and harmony was flowing. And we looked last time at the ladies and how they were to accomplish that. And now we're going to look at how it is that the guys are to accomplish that. And so, ladies, no elbowing, no amening, because you'll just get yourself in trouble, okay? Just a lot of humble listening and praying that God would help us, guys. Because sometimes we're a little, not all of us, but sometimes some of us, and I'm talking for myself, are slow to learn at times. So let's begin with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones, and for this reason shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, there's a word in there that we see repeated over and over again. And the reason it's repeated over and over again is because God understands women. And you know what? The main need of the woman, men, is that need to feel loved, to feel cared for. To feel just and sense that kind of understanding and caring love that she needs that more than anything else. And that's why, you know what, you could call your wife three times a day and tell her that you love her. And then you can go home from work and she can say, honey, do you love me? And you go, But you know what? You can't tell her too much that you love her. And of course, unless you're trying to substitute that for showing her that you love her. So we're to love her. Her need is for love. Just as a man needs to be appreciated and respected and prized and adored, so a woman needs to be loved. Showered with love. And we are to love as Christ loved the church. He who loves his wife loves himself. So that love, that need for love is there. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, turn over there with me in verse 7, we find the Lord speaking to us. And again, Listen, a lot of books written on marriage, but no book more important, no book should ever substitute for what we have here in front of us, God's Word. This is the Word of God, men. This is not the Word of some guys with some convoluted ideas. This is the Word of God. And so we need to listen because God is speaking on the topic of marriage, which is His institution and creation. And if we want it to be enjoyed rather than simply endured, then we need to pay attention to what He says. And He says here to love your wife as Christ loved the church. And then this is how: husbands likewise dwell with them, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, with an understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. You see, the Lord understands women. He also understands men. He understands women because He gave them six verses to talk about how, as we looked at, to deal with their husbands. But to us guys, He understands men. He goes, you know what? I got to cut to the chase with these guys. I know they have ADD. All of them. If you just like slap them in the face and get their attention right away, and in few words, they'll get lost. So He lays it out, just one verse. One verse is all He lays out here to the husband to help us to understand how it is that we are to express love to a woman. How it is that we are to have a wife that is happy. A wife that is holy. A marriage that is happening, you see. And He says to us, and He gives us, guys, just five things I'm going to talk to you about. Five things, okay? Just pay attention. Now, under one of the points, there are several things that I'm going to call to your attention as to how this practically applies. But there's only five things. Can you handle that? Okay, take notes, pay attention, listen up. This is God's Word. The first thing, number one, if you're taking note. Number one, He says, husbands likewise dwell with your wife. That word for dwell means to hang out, to spend time with, to be around your wife. Listen, guys, nothing will benefit, build, and bless your wife more than, listen, more than if you willingly spend time with her. Willingly. Not reluctantly, not under pressure or manipulating the situation for your own thing, you see. But if you willingly spend time with her. Listen, men, if you want to lower your handicap in golf, if you want to jack up your batting average or your bowling average, you don't do that by just spending a couple times a year at the sport. You must spend time regularly. You must spend time consistently if you want those things to improve. What is true there on the golf course and in the batting cage or and in the game is also true in your marriage. There's no way around it, men. It takes time. If you want a hot, passionate, happening marriage, if you want your wife to become the woman that you were so in love with that you asked her to marry you, then you have to spend time. If you want a happy wife resulting in a happy life, it's going to take quality time. And it's going to take a quantity of time. I mean, there's just, it's something that you can't, you cannot, you know, minimize in any capacity. When you were happening and things were going on, when you were dating, it wasn't like she had to make you come over to her house. She wasn't begging you, please, please come over, honey, please. No, no, you were going, hey, I'm getting off work in about, 10 minutes. You called her before you got off work. Hey, you want to go out tonight? Where are we going to go tonight? And then the next night you called her, hey, where do you want to go tonight? And your parents were probably going, you know what, you guys are like going all the time. And then as soon as you dropped her off, you know, at her house and left, when you got home, because we didn't have cell phones then, some of us, when you got home, you called her. Now they talk all the way home, I would imagine. Or text, as the case may be. You ever wonder, once you get married, what were we talking about for all that time? I mean, and then sometimes maybe where you didn't talk, you just wanted to hear each other breathe or something on the phone. I don't know. But man, you were spending the time. You were investing the time. Listen, what happened, what kept it happening then and made it hot then, you see, it still exists, but you've got to be willing to spend the time. That's just a fact of life. You got to be continuing that date night, if you would. You got to take her away, man, and now that you're married, you can go away and for a weekend. And listen, if you're looking for something to do, we've got a couples retreat that we do here once a year. Hey, if you've never been, this is the time. It's coming up in November. Start saving now. And take that weekend and take your wife away and spend some time in the Word with your wife down there in Orange County, you know, right off the 73 there at the countryside inn, a nice place and close to, things that girls like to do. What's that? I know you guys are freaking out, but there's malls down there. There's also a beach where you could take walks and listen to the ocean. You can walk out on the pier. The girls are going, yeah. The guys are going, oh, Pastor, what are you doing to me? I'm trying to help you and me. When I'm talking to husbands this morning, I'm not coming to you guys like, yeah, you poor guys, I got it together, you don't. I'm coming going, okay, God help all of us, okay, together. And I'm telling you these things and I'm tuning in. Okay, we need to spend time. Listen, man, the best days of your marriage could be ahead of you if you'll simply listen here to the heart of God as He is instructing you and take some time and invest your time and stop wasting time with so many things that don't really matter. It seems so important and urgent. You see, when your precious bride is there and you're not spending that time. You made some vows. You made a commitment. God hasn't forgotten it. And He will help you to keep it. But it's going to take some time. Secondly, not only do we have to spend time, it's the kind of time we spend, you see, that's important. It says here, Amplified Bible, in the same way you married men should live considerately with your wives with an intelligent recognition of the marriage relation. Spend time, dwell with them, But dwell with them according to knowledge. You see, living with them considerately. In other words, being thoughtful of the rights and feelings, according to Merriam-Webster, the definition of considerately, it means to be thoughtful of the rights and feelings of others. Continuous and careful thought, a matter weighed or taken into account when formulating an opinion or plan, thoughtful and sympathetic regard, an opinion obtained by reflection. We men are to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Spending time with them with a purpose. What is that? Getting to know them. To dwell with them according to knowledge. What kind of knowledge? Any kind of knowledge you can attain. Any kind of knowledge. Make a study, he's saying here, of your wife. Listen, take notes if you need to. Write it down if you need to. Get your PhD in the study of your wife. You see, this is probably not a news flash to many of you, but you probably noticed if you've been married for any amount of time that she's different than you. Have you noticed that? And the differences, again, are more than physical. Her approach to life in general, the way she looks at things, the way she deals with things, the way she deals with things, you know, as far as things financially, as far as things emotionally, as far as things sexually. She comes at it totally different than you. They express themselves, women do, in ways that are foreign to you and me many times. And for that reason, God's Word is telling us here the things that we're to look for and listen to and pay attention to and you're to understand. Or you say, Pastor, that is a mystery to me. I've been married for some time. I still haven't figured it out. But let me ask you, are you trying? Or have you given up in frustration? You see, marriage, God has made it so that men, we are to open this door of discovery and look at it as a challenge and move from mystery to mastery. That's the goal. Oh, Pastor, that's really hard. I mean, she's so complex. I don't get it. Hey, that's part of the challenge, isn't it? I mean, guys, when's the last time? Aren't we up for a challenge? I think of the first time I ever changed a set of disc brake pads. They actually came into existence in my lifetime. Like some of you probably remember. How many of you guys remember the old shoe brakes? How many of you remember? Raise your hands. Okay, there's a few of you. Some of you guys go, brakes, what's that? But anyhow, they stop your car. And that are necessary for your existence, you see, if you're going to drive. That being said, you know what? Those shoe brakes, man, they were a hassle to change. Remember that? You had to, like, pop those springs off and the little spring things and twist them. And then they popped off and you'd pull them off. And then you had to put together this little thing that adjusted them and get everything in the right way. And then you had to hold a little pin in the back that kept them and turn this thing, spring thing over the... It was a hassle. So the disc brakes came and I, being a young man, you know what? I couldn't afford to have them done. So I thought, okay, I don't know what disc brakes are. And I'm just crazy enough to not get the manual. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to pay that kind of money. Some of you guys are like this. I'm not going to pay that kind of money to have them change. I can buy the pad. Call up, you know, the auto parts place. How much are the disc brake pads? I don't even know what I'm exactly talking about for this car. And then they tell you, and I go, okay, I'll be down and pick up a set. So you go down, you pick them up, and then you kind of look at them. You pull them out of the box and look at them and goes, man, how's this work? This is nothing like I've ever dealt with before. But just... it's a mystery. I've never changed these things before. But you know what? I'm up for the challenge. Jack the car up. Take off the wheel when you have time. And I remember the first time I looked down and go, huh, interesting. How's this thing work? And so I'm messing with it, paying a little, you know, attention to it, observing the way these things are in there, getting that ingrained in my mind, you know, looking, finding the pads. I had a pad, so I thought, well, I'll look, and okay, so there's the pad, and you shake it a little bit, and you go, that's it. Okay, and then you got the other pad on the other side of this disc, and so I said, now, how do you get these things out of here? And so you're kind of looking around, but in the first car I changed them on, which is a Datsun.
Some of you are going, Datsun, what's that?
Well, they're called Nissans now. And it was a 240Z. And so I go, well, there's this little pin, and that looked like it goes through these two holes. So I'm going to take this pin out, but I got to take this thing off the back. There was this little pin on the back that kind of kept this other pin on. And so I took off the pin, and I said, well, let me pull this out. And I got to remember how I got this in there and where this thing went. And so then I set it down, and then I took the other one. I pulled it out. There was one on the top and one on the bottom. Pulled that one out. And I go, well, is anything else holding those pads? And then the next thing you know, I just reached in there, grabbed the pad, and hey, came out. Wow, this is awesome. And then I pulled the other one. Now these are worn out. Okay, so I pulled the other one out. It came out. And I'm going, hey, that's cool. That's all you have to do. So I take the new one. I stick it in this side. And I'm going, wow, this is like, who would pay to have this done? And then I go and I get that one in, and man, it's easy. And then I go to put the other side in. Hey, this doesn't go in. Uh-oh. What's going on? Now, some of you mechanics are going, I know what's going on. There's something you forgot. Well, I didn't know. So I'm trying to figure out what's going on, and I notice that there's not enough room between this little round goodie called the caliper, you see. There's not enough room to get this pad in. And so what am I going to do now? Well, I got me a little crowbar. Probably shouldn't have done that, but, and I don't suggest you try this, okay? But I didn't want to take the whole thing off, you know, because there were other bolts that I could take the whole thing off. And I thought, I don't want to do that. There's got to be an easier way. So I got the pry bar out, and I just kind of pushed that thing back. And now I didn't know enough to take the cap off the brake fluid thing. And so I'm pushing it and pushing it. All of a sudden, this liquid comes running, dripping down. It was brake fluid because I was pushing the caliper back. And so you ladies are going, I don't need this lesson. But this, I'm trying to relate to the guys, ladies. And so then I get it all the way back, and I pop that thing in. And awesome, put those two pins in, put it back. I could do this in my sleep, man. The other side was so much easier. But you see, that didn't just happen. It was a mystery initially to me. I didn't get it. It took me some time of discovery, some attentiveness, some observation, some you know, just kind of patience to kind of work through this to bring that about. You know what? The same thing is true with your bride. It takes some time, guys. Yeah, it's a mystery, but that doesn't mean you can't do it. Are you up for the challenge? Yes. You see, it's worth it. You see, that's the thing. Is it worth it? To change those paths was going to save me enough money that it was well worth whatever time it took me initially. And you know what? I got better at it over the years pretty much soon, man. I pretty much had it down. Mike Morrison called me, hey, Dennis, I remember he called me one time. He took the disc brake pads off the front of his Maxima and he made a fatal mistake that you don't make, you see. He took off both sides at once. And he didn't have any bearing as to how they went back. And so he calls me and says, Dennis, I need help. I said, what? He says, I took the pads off my Maxima and I can't remember how I got them to put them back on. He's a musician. Usually musicians and mechanics don't go together. They do sometimes, but not generally. So I went over and I, you know, again, observation, this was a little different than my car. The setup was a little different. It was a few, several years newer, so they had done some different things. But you know what? You'd look at it, you'd spend a little time, you can figure it out if you just hang in there and just kind of work through it. And that's the way it is with our wives. It's just like, remember when you perhaps being a little bit more mechanically inclined, or if you weren't, you certainly acted like it, and your wife had her car and you were driving her car, or she came to you and says, honey, you know what, there's some kind of noise my car's making that I haven't heard before. Or maybe she never heard the noise, which is often the case, and you got in it, and you, what's that noise, man? Have you checked the brakes? Have you checked the oil? Have you checked? Well, no, why? Well, hon, there's something wrong. Oh, what am I going to do?
Don't worry. I'll fix it.
I'm here. I will save you from your mechanical blunders. And you know what? You heard the noise. You diagnosed the problem. It was the water pump. It was the brakes. And you go, well, it's this. It's the water pump. She goes, oh, no, what am I going to do? Nothing. I will do it all. Oh, you will?
Yes, I will take care of it.
What's it going to cost me? I mean, I get the mechanic.
No, I'll fix it myself. Whether you knew what you were doing or not.
You went down and bought the water pump and you read the directions or whatever and figured out, put the thing in. And then, you know, you worked on it for a while and she's out there. Can I get you anything, sweetheart?
No, I've got this, you know.
Oh, thank you so much.
I know, it's just my responsibility.
And you fixed that thing and you turned it on, fired it up. And she goes, my hero. You've saved me. And you know, you felt so proud and respected and appreciated. And she felt so loved and cared for and protected. You see, that takes some time. It takes a trained ear to hear the noise in the car that's where the problem is and kind of diagnose it. Listen, men, tune in. Your ear can be trained. Your wife, if she's making a certain sound, if there's a certain look on her face, if there's a certain tone in her voice, tune in. May need a little maintenance there. Better to do a little maintenance than wait till the car. And you know what? You can come in and we love to help you and counsel you. But I'm telling you, sometimes the reason you come in, you got marriage problems and need counsel and help is because you just guys waited too long and now the cars, the warning lights are on, it's sitting by the side of the road, you know, the engine's scattered all over the road and you go, can you help me? We will, we can, but guys, can I suggest that you don't wait that long? Do a little preventative maintenance when the squeak starts. Find out what's wrong, okay? Little oil of love and compassion can keep the thing from being scattered beside the road. You see, she needs to feel loved. She needs to feel understood by you. And there's a survey that I heard when we say dwell with her in an understanding way and she needs to feel loved. And this survey laid out, they went to some women and said, hey, what is it that makes you feel loved and understood by your husband? And here's some sub things, guys. Pay attention to these. If you don't have a notepad, you know, to write them down, you should, and that's part of your problem, okay? But make a mental note of these things because they're going to help you, okay? So pay attention here. And number one, a woman feels loved and cared for when you hold her hand.
when you hold her hand. Just something that simple. You know, and I struggle, you know, when you get married, you kind of... She walks 10 paces behind you going, come on, hon, let's go. When you were dating, you weren't doing that, were you? You opened the door of the car. She got out. You didn't close her in the door. Come on, hurry up. You know, I just... And when she got out of the car, you held her hand. You walked all around Disneyland, held hands. You got on the rides. You were holding hands on the rides. And then when you weren't holding her hand, if you were sitting, guess what you did? Put your arm around her. What happened? You see, she feels loved when you put your arm around her, when you hold her hand. She feels loved when you hug her. You come home, maybe she's upset, she's had a tough day, you sense that. You know what? And as a guy, we tend to go, so rough day, huh? What's going on, man? And just start talking and doing the analyzation and all that stuff. And you know what, man? Sometimes we just need to shut up. Especially I found out the hard way if she's pregnant. And you come home and she's crying and you don't know for what reason. And you want to find out what reason because you want to solve the problem. She doesn't even understand what reason, but you're pestering her for a reason. Why are you crying? What's the matter? What's going on? You know what? Just be quiet. Here's what I've learned. Just be quiet. And just say, hon, I don't know what's going on. And if you want to share it, great. But I love you. And just give her a hug and hold her and let her cry in your arms. Okay, you don't need to understand maybe at that point if she wants to, and you can maybe later figure it out. But you know what? Just a hug, and just let her just cry it out, or you know, just let her know that you care for her. She also feels loved when you're affectionate, without underscore, underline, mental note, without sexual intentions. Get that, guys? Pay attention to that, guys. Affection without sexual intentions. Just rubbing her shoulders, you know, just squeezing her and just doing that kind of stuff without it leading to sex every time it happens. She also feels loved when you are open with her, when you share your feelings with her. Now, a man I know, and I think your wife already knows, that it's unlikely that you'll share your feelings as often and as much detail as she does. But know this, when you do share your honest feelings with her, your struggles and that kind of a thing, and open up in that way, she feels loved. She also feels loved when you share your day. And if you've had a bad one and you know, you come home and she can sense you're in a mood, hey, listen, you can say, man, I've had a tough day. The boss has, you know, been on me all day. But hon, I'm just kind of struggling. It's nothing you've done. I love you. I'm so glad I'm able to come home and just get away and be with you. Just to reassure her that everything's okay. She feels loved. When you talk without harshness or guardedness or grunting, When you talk to her without remote control in hand, newspaper in hand, computer open, smartphone in hand. I think I've covered pretty much everything. You see, be careful the tone of voice you use when you talk to your wife and how you talk to her. Because, you know what, if you haven't discovered this yet, just figure it out and get it. You can't talk to a woman the same way you talk to a man. Us men, we can badger each other and harass each other and mess with each other and be hard on each other. But man, you start doing that to your wife, you're going to see her spirit be crushed. And you know, then you're going to need to do some apologizing and get things straightened out. Because you can't talk to her the same way. Think about this, guys. And this is something that I I think it will be helpful to me. When you talk to your wife and the way you talk to your wife, ask yourself if you have a daughter, would you like your son-in-law or your future son-in-law to talk to her the same way you're talking to your wife? Are you going to be okay with the way you're talking to your wife when he talks to her that way? Another thing is to listen to her and try and understand her. I heard something the other day that I'm going to attempt to incorporate into my marriage. I think it's a great idea, and I don't know why I didn't think of it. When your wife starts talking to you, you know, try to understand. And in order to do that, you know, I think there's a thing that, you know, because ladies, you know that men by nature are problem solvers. So here's what happens to us. When you start to share with us something, you know what, hon, I'm having trouble with the boys getting their homework done with this situation. Well, I got a friend that is going through that situation. And now, as soon as you start talking to us, automatic mode for males, generally, is, okay, keep talking. I got a solution. I'm working on a solution right now while you're talking. And we are scoping the solution out. We are problem solvers. I'm going to fix it for you because I'm the fixer. I fixed your car. I'm going to fix what's wrong. You know what? Sometimes she doesn't need to be looked at in that way and listened to in that way. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here's a good idea. When your wife starts talking and you're listening, say, can I just stop you for a second? Because I need to know something. Do you need me to solve a problem here, or do you just need me to listen? That's a good idea. And don't get offended, wife, because, you see, we listen differently. If we're listening to solve a problem, you know what? While you're sharing it, we're stacking up, we're analyzing, we're putting it all, we're getting all the ducks in the row. We are formulating steps in our mind as to how this is going to happen. And before you're even done sharing, we probably will interrupt and say, well, now here's what you need to do. But if that's not what you need, then you know what? You're hurt. So just a simple, hun, I'm listening and I'm in tune and I love you. And I just need to know, as you're sharing this, do you need me to solve a problem or do you just need me to listen? Because you know what? If I'm listening just to listen and hear her heart and just to, you know, just to love her, then I listen in a different way than I listen to solve a problem. I mean, it's a fact of life. It just is that way. And so you know, that's part of helping you understand one another and just to listen and tune in to where she's at. And guys, listen, she feels loved when you occasionally repeat back what she's saying so she knows you're listening. You know, a little expression every once in a while. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Not again, just Ladies, I'm going to give you a little exhortation here in this. Remember, give to your husbands and sons the Reader's Digest version of the story. Save the other version for your girlfriends. They're there, man. They're into that. That doesn't mean that we can't learn, guys. But that's the fact of the matter is the shorter version. And then guys are good at if we need other details filled in, we're pretty good about being able to gather those on our own. So just a little shorter version. And then thirdly, we're to honor her. We're to dwell with her, spend time with her in an understanding way, seeking to understand her and go through that door of discovery that God has put in this precious gift of a bride that He's given to us. And we are to honor her as the weaker vessel. Now, honor means to ascribe worth. To ascribe worth to. To esteem highly. Essentially, to appreciate her. Letting her know that you couldn't do her job. Giving her recognition and sharing appreciation for the things that she does daily that you kind of take for granted. Maybe, guys, a little homework assignment here. Look at some of the menial tasks that she daily does. Running the kids here, running the kids there, and just the little things that she does around the house. And just write down, just give her a little card that says that you appreciate those things and that you see those things. I know the ladies are going, amen, but don't, okay? Because that's important. That there's so many things that she does that go unnoticed. That go without thanks. And when you tell her, you know what, I'm glad I don't have your job. I couldn't do your job. You know what? She feels understood when you say that to her. And when you appreciate her in that way. So we need to express ourselves in that way to her. And a woman also feels loved when you, listen guys to this, when you apologize by saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Man, I know occasionally, men, that you're wrong. Probably more than we would like to admit, and that's a problem. Have you ever noticed, like, it's true with guys and girls, just as little kids, usually girls are pretty quick to admit they're wrong or say, I'm sorry. Oh, you know, they trip over the dog or the dog runs into them. They go, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, oh, I'm sorry. Guys,
doesn't happen very much.
There's just something in us, but God says, hey, you know what? We need to be those who recognize when we do wrong that hey, to admit that we're wrong. Pride keeps us from it. The Lord's saying, don't let that pride become a problem in your marriage relationship. Man, when you're wrong and you know you're wrong and you guys know you are, and I struggle with this. We all, as men, struggle with this. We need to be willing to admit it, admitting it quickly, rather than just when we're wrong going, yeah, okay, hey, listen, you know, messed up.
That's a first step. That's close to I'm wrong, but not quite.
You see, one thing that's a turn on to a woman is saying to her, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And if you want to amp it up a bit, if you want to turn it on a little bit more, say, will you forgive me, honey? I love you. And pray that God will help me. Let's just pray right now that God will help me. Now she's going, whoa. Wow. Now she feels loved. She feels cared for. And listen, praying something that when you've gone through a struggle, when you're going through a crisis, when you've been a moron occasionally, when you've been insensitive to where she's at, to say you're wrong, to admit it, to ask for forgiveness, and then to sit down with her and pray and say, God, help me not to be such an idiot. Help me to love my wife and to meet the needs that she has to the best of my ability, emotionally and physically, and to provide that protection and care for her. She feels honored, you see. And complimenting her in front of other family members, complimenting her in front of friends, complimenting her and appreciating her, you know, in front of the children. It gives her the kind of honor that she so desperately needs from you. It's so helpful and be willing to pray for God to show you. If you're going through financial difficulty right now, you know what, man? Sit down with your wife and pray and say, God, take care of us, provide for us, show us your will as to what to do with this house situation or with this other situation. We just need to know your will. That is so comforting to her, and she feels so loved when you do that kind of a thing. And those are just a few of the things. If you need more ideas as to how she needs to feel loved, my suggestion, ask. And I guarantee if she's honest, she'll come. You'll have no shortage of more ideas as to what you can do to make her feel loved and to cause her to feel honored. And then protect her. Honor her, it says here, as the weaker vessel. Now, a lot of people say, well, hey, women's rights. People say, hey, we're not weak. You're not. We're all weak when it comes to the Lord, aren't we? We're all in need. But what he's saying here is more fragile, more in need of protection. You see, let's face it, ladies. A woman is not as strong as a man. You may say, well, not me, man. I could beat up my husband. I could take him any time. That may say more about your husband than you. Listen, typically, if a man works out and a woman works out, or if they fail to work out, no matter what, the man's going to be stronger, and God has created that because he is to be the protector, just as Christ protects the church, just as Christ provides for the church. You see, she has that need to be protected and provided for. If you got the kind of marriage where when somebody hears a sound outside the window and the husband goes to the wife, honey, I there's somebody outside the window, I'm scared. Check that out for me. Something seriously wrong. By nature, the man is the protector. By nature, the kids, the woman go, Daddy or husband, what should we do? You know, there's somebody out there. The man goes, I'll get it. Well, he may be freaked out, but he's going to go check it out. Because, you know what? He wants to protect his family. He wants to provide for his family. We are to provide that protection, you see. And that protection isn't just physically. It speaks of just, you know, protecting them from things that are dangerous and just, you know, that are hurtful to them, you see. Protecting her sometimes with the kids. I remember, not so much now, but when the kids were younger. I have three boys. And one of those boys, and I'm never going to tell you which one. One of those boys was kind of a male chauvinist at birth. And he had a problem listening to his mom. If his dad said it, he'd go, okay. But if his mom said it, he'd go, I don't know if that's right. Now that's that sin nature that's born in us. And I remember being out of town at times and I'd get the phone call and my wife would say, honey, so-and-so is like in one of my son's names. And then she'd say, and so I'd have to get on the phone and protect this kid is like, you know, what's the deal with this kid? And so I'd talk to him. I'd say, hey, listen, that's your mom. You respect her, you honor her, you obey her, you stop your arguing with her. And buddy, if you don't stop your arguing with her, when I get home, judgment will come. But dad, no, I don't want to hear any dad, but dad stuff. You just do what you're told to do. The Bible says that you're to honor your mother and father. And so you need to honor her right now and do what she says to do. But you see, that's providing protection for her. That's providing backup and support for her. You need to manage your aggression as well when it comes to protecting her. You know, again, the harsh tone of voice, the abruptness that guys can have. Man, a soft answer turns away wrath. Man, when you're around your wife, you're around your wife. It's like your little daughter can't take the same kind of talk that your little son can. Your son can handle it, man. They banter back and forth. Boys do that. But girls, they're different. And so we need to treat them accordingly. Tone of your voice, important, you see. Remembering, fifthly, that we are heirs together of the grace of Christ. You see, the blessings and the gift, the good things, eternally, women have equal access to the blessing and the gifts of God. Equal sharing of the gifts of grace. We're to share with our wives. We're to share with one another what the Lord is doing in our lives, what the Lord is showing us. Sharing the treasures and the discoveries that God is revealing to us. You see, so important that we do that. Spend that time investing in our marriage, not wasting and just trying to make things work in this life. We need that balance, that right priority. God wants us to enjoy our marriages, not simply endure them. So important is this treatment of your wife, men, that God has attached a very serious warning to this. What's he said? If you don't dwell with her in this way, if you don't spend the time, if you don't, you know, pay attention to where she's at and make a study of her and know her in that way and honor her in that way and recognize that she needs protection and security and comfort. If you don't do that and your wife is hurting and crying out because of the way you're dealing with her and treating her, guess what? When you go to the Lord and pray, Lord, just give me that promotion at work. Lord, just provide in this way. Lord, just help me do better at the men's study and help me be, you know, more godly and be used at the church more, you see. And the Lord's going, huh? Oh, what do you mean, huh? I can't hear you. Your wife is like hurting and crying out to me, and her voice of pain is so severe and the cry is so loud. I can't hear you. You need to get your house in order first. And that house in order starts with your wife and your relationship with her. You see, that's the priority. To love your wife as Christ loved the church. Lay down your agenda. Lay down, it's not all about you. I don't want to go shopping. What's your wife want to do? She wants to go shopping. Can you believe it, Pastor? She asked me to go into the ladies' clothing store with her while she tries on some outfits. Let the girls do that. You know what? No. You do it. You go sit there and do something that she wants to do. And you know what? And she tries it on, she comes out, and she wants your input. Graciously, lovingly, carefully. Carefully. Give her your input. You see, and it's some of you guys go, oh man, that's like asking me to like Chinese water torture or something. But you know what? It's investing in your wife. It's letting her know. It's being selfless and doing something that she knows maybe that you don't really like to do, but you, not reluctantly, okay, I'll go and see. Don't walk out of here. And you know, when she goes, you know what the pastor said about you want to go shopping with me today? It's just, oh, Easter is coming up. I need an outfit. Oh, okay, I'll go. And you kind of go with that attitude. No. Hey, hon, I'll go with you. I mean, I just want to be with you. And I'd love to go. I'm going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to love you and do what you want to do today. And you know what? That kind of investment pays serious dividends, guys. It truly does. So the challenge is issued. Open the door of discovery. And man, spend your time seeking the Lord about this gift that He has given to you by His grace. This woman of beauty that He's entrusted into your care. And discover all that He has there for you. And you'll have a marriage that's enjoyed. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word.